ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 44 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डायनेस्टी ऑफ अंशुमान। न बाल्येऽपि मतिर्मह्यम् अधर्मे रमते क्वचित्, नापश्यम् उत्तमश्लोका अन्यत् किञ्चन वस्त्वहम्। न बट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। आई वॉज नेवर अट्रैक्टेड इवन इन माई चाइल्डहुड बाई इनसिग्निफिकेंट थिंग्स और इरिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स। आई डिड नॉट फाइंड एनी थिंग मोर सब्सटैंशियल देन द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। परपोर्ट। Maharaj Katwang provides a typical example of a Krishna conscious person. A Krishna conscious person does not see anything to be important but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor does he accept anything within this material world as being unconnected to the Supreme Lord. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, स्थावर जंगम देके ना देके तार मूर्ति सर्वत्र हय निज इष्ट देव स्फूर्ति। द महाभागवत द एडवांस डिवोटी सर्टनली सीज एवरीथिंग मोबाइल एंड इमोबाइल बट इट डज नॉट एग्जैक्टली सी देयर फॉर्म्स। रादर एवरीवेयर ही इमीडिएटली सीज मैनिफेस्ट द फॉर्म ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड। Although a devotee is within the material world, he has no connection with it. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. He accepts this material world in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee may be engaged in earning money, but he uses that money for propagating the Krishna consciousness movement, by constructing large temples and establishing worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Katwang Maharaj, therefore, was not a materialist. A materialist is always attached to wife, children, home, property, and many other things for sense gratification. But as stated above, Katwang Maharaj was not attached to such things, nor could he think of anything existing without the purpose of the Supreme Lord. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything is related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, this consciousness is not for the ordinary person, but if one takes to the path of devotional service, as prescribed in the nectar of devotion, he can be trained in this consciousness and attain perfect understanding. For a Krishna conscious person, nothing is palatable without a relationship with Krishna. Om Ajnana Timiran. Hare Krishna. Though unqualified, some kind of service, I beg the blessings of all the devotees assembled here. Especially Radha Gopinath Prabhu and Brajvihari Prabhu. So here, Srila Prabhupada brings out the understanding of how the consciousness of a pure devotee of the Lord is such that he feels nothing is palatable without a relationship with Krishna. That means without Krishna, a pure devotee, he feels uncomfortable, discomforted. For example, in India, in different parts, different things are palatable for people. In the Gujarat area, in Gujaratis, nothing is palatable without sweet. They want sweet in everything. And if you go to North India, nothing is palatable without ample quantity of milk and milk products. There has to be a lot of ghee and a lot of butter. Some time ago, some of the devotees, they had been to Amritsar and they were called for a very simple prasad. And the simple prasad had 4 sabjis and one of them was paneer sabji. So milk preparation should always be there. That is North India. And of course Gujarat, sweet has to be there. Many Gujaratis have sweet in lunch every day. And if you go to South India, nothing is palatable without coconut. There is coconut everywhere. In fact, I used to think like it's like salt. A preparation is incomplete without coconut. That was my understanding before I came to Bombay. Everything should have coconut. So naturally, when someone goes from one part of the country to the other, because what is palatable to him is not being found, he will feel discomforted and he feels uncomfortable. So a North Indian, if he goes to South India for a prolonged period of time and he does not get chapatis, he'll feel uncomfortable. That's natural. So this can give us an understanding of, a little understanding of what happens to a Krishna conscious person, a pure devotee of the Lord. Nothing is palatable without Krishna. That means without Krishna, he feels something is not there, like a vacancy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the understanding of a pure devotee's consciousness. Yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayitam Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name. A pure devotee, yugayatam nimeshena, without Krishna, shunyayatam jagat sarvam, the whole world seems to be a void in the absence of Krishna. He is addicted to Krishna. He is conditioned, this transcendental conditioning. Transcendental conditioning to be always in contact with Krishna. How wonderful, we can only imagine. But this conditioning, the transcendental conditioning of a pure devotee, is hope for the conditioned souls. Because a pure devotee, wherever he goes, he wants people to become Krishna conscious. Because for him, nothing is palatable without Krishna. So he works towards making people whomsoever he meets Krishna conscious. So this is the hope for the conditioned soul. This transcendental conditioning of the pure devotee of the Lord. So a pure devotee is conditioned by love for Krishna. But in this material world, the conditioned soul, nothing is palatable without envy. That is the condition of the material world. Without a tinge of envy, nothing is palatable. While the pure devotee, while for the pure devotee, nothing is palatable without Krishna, without love for Krishna, in this material world, nothing is palatable without a tinge of envy. So envy is all pervading in the material world. And that envy motivates one to compare. So we see in this world, nothing is palatable without comparing oneself with others. One might wear whatever he might wear in the best of clothes, but unless he walks around and compares himself with others, there is no fun. It's not really palatable. He doesn't feel satisfied unless he compares himself with others. For example, in a classroom scenario, during examinations, once the results come out, some people are miserable, some people are happy. So if we combine the happiness of everybody, once the results come out, that happiness will be maximum if everyone fails. If everyone fails, everyone is happy. But if someone gets high marks, someone gets low marks, so some people will be miserable, some people will be happy. And the misery will be more than happiness. But if everyone fails, everyone will be happy. So what a strange world. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings, Keshavatva Jagata Vichitra. This world of yours is very strange. The material world is very strange. Now we had a professor who somehow realized this fact maybe. So his son actually failed once. So after his son failed in the same institute, he made a policy. Every year to his students he used to give the same grades. Everyone used to get the same grade, irrespective of your performance. So everyone would feel comfortable. But they would have felt more comfortable if everyone were failed maybe. He didn't know the complete psychology. So this is the problem in the material world, comparison. Now, for example, I was thinking that train journey in Bombay is a miserable experience, especially during rush hours. Who is comfortable traveling by trains? So everyone is in misery. But people in the belt between Borivali and Virar, they are more miserable. Why are they more miserable? Because they compare themselves with the passengers in the rest of Bombay. Otherwise, the nature of the conditioned soul is he'll get adjusted to the situation. But the problem arises when the conditioned soul compares himself with others. That is the cause of all miseries. So for a conditioned soul, nothing is palatable without comparing himself with others and feeling himself better than others. And even after coming to devotional service, this tendency creeps in. And that is the cause of all problems for a sadhaka. Even after coming to devotional service, that same mentality of comparing continues. The sadhaka tends to compare mercy. How much mercy I got, how much mercy someone else got. Now mercy is absolute. It's causeless. It's infinity. Mercy by definition is infinity. Because no price can be paid to get mercy. So mercy is infinity. So infinity cannot be compared with infinity. But still, when the sadhaka compares mercy, he becomes miserable. Even in the best of situations, he becomes miserable. Thinking that I got less mercy than someone else. And that is the cause of the biggest frustration, even after coming to devotional service. I'm especially talking about myself. Damodar Chaitanya Prabhu, he was telling me something. So he designed, you know, a wonderful program for allocation of accommodation for all the devotees during the South India Yatra. So the program is made in such a way that, in according to when you register, you know, accordingly you will get the accommodation, and so that everything goes on smoothly and nobody feels that some kind of injustice is being done or something like that. But still he says there will be problems towards the end. Why? Because most of the complaints that come are due to comparison. Even after going to a holy place, sometimes, of course, devotees are trying to get above this kind of conditioning, but still, due to prolonged association with the material energy, this kind of tendency creeps in. And devotees tend to compare. I got this kind of accommodation, someone else got this another kind of accommodation. And in spite of being in a holy place, one can become miserable. So when a sadhaka, when he compares, when he starts comparing himself with others, one of the two things happens. One is he feels discouraged when he compares himself with others on the material plane. He becomes discouraged and becomes depressed. He loses enthusiasm on the process of sadhana bhakti. Or else, he gets a feeling of injustice after comparison. There has been injustice done to me, either by devotees or by Krishna or by the spiritual master perhaps. Some kind of injustice is being done to me because of that comparing mentality. And both consequences, both the things are detrimental to one's devotional service. Discouragement, loss of enthusiasm, and also a feeling of injustice because of comparing. Because of comparing oneself with others. So in this connection, I wanted to speak about the teachings of Haridas Thakur. Now, Haridas Thakur, there are very less places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, or anywhere in our literatures where he gives any instructions to anybody. One of the rare places where he actually gives some instruction is when he is being taken to the Nawab, to the Qazi, when he was to be beaten in the 21 marketplaces. So as he was being taken inside, he sees prisoners there. And upon seeing Srila Haridas Thakur, they become very happy. And then Haridas Thakur, there's a brief exchange. And during that exchange, Haridas Thakur gives certain instructions to these prisoners. So I would like to read out a part of these instructions. So Haridas Thakur is telling, always get together, chant Krishna's names and remember Krishna. Remain like this at every moment. Never hurt anyone, never trouble anyone. Instead, always think of Krishna and always in a helpless voice call out to Krishna. So his instructions are very simple. always come together and chant Krishna's name. And then he says, never hurt anyone, never trouble anyone. Instead, always think of Krishna and always in a helpless voice call out to Krishna. Now speaking on this particular instructions of Haridas Thakur, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, during a class in Jagannath Puri in 2006, he made a very interesting point. Now Haridas Thakur, he says, never hurt anyone, never trouble anyone. He gave a deeper understanding of what it actually means. He said, when do we hurt someone? Now, of course, as devotees, we don't hurt someone externally just like that. We have given up meat eating. So naturally, we don't hurt animals. And devotees generally, unnecessarily don't hit someone or beat up someone or hurt someone in that sense. But when does a sadhaka hurt someone? When he feels that injustice is being done to him. When we feel that injustice is being done to us, we tend to retaliate to that injustice. And in retaliation, we hurt others either through our words, through our actions, or through our thoughts. And why? And when do we feel that injustice is being done towards us? We feel injustice is being done to us when we compare ourselves with others. And when that comparison is based on envious tendencies. So when there is envy, we compare ourselves with others. And when we compare ourselves with others, we invariably, either today or tomorrow, we'll feel that some injustice is being done to us. It's inevitable. As long as there is a mentality to compare ourselves based on envious tendencies, a feeling of injustice done against us has to come. It's only a matter of time. And when we feel injustice is being done to us, naturally we want to retaliate. And in retaliation, we hurt others. And Haridas Thakur is telling, never hurt anyone, never trouble anyone. So what should be done? Instead, Haridas Thakur says, always think of Krishna and always in a helpless voice call out to Krishna. Because what can be done? Still we have conditioned tendencies as sadhakas. So naturally, this mentality to compare ourselves with others, to compare the mercy which we are getting to the mercies that someone else is getting, that mentality will naturally come. And a feeling of injustice might also come. But instead of retaliation, what one should do, Haridas Thakur is telling, that one should always think of Krishna and in a helpless voice call out to Krishna. I remember in Vrindavan Yatra of 2008, we were at Kalia Ghat. Now Kalia represents envy. So speaking on this particular pastime of Kalia Daman, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, towards the end, he made a very profound statement. He said, at this place, we should pray to Krishna that let us not succumb to envy. Because envy is very deep-rooted. And it takes a lifetime or many lifetimes for it to be completely eradicated. But let's pray to Krishna that let us not succumb to envy and act upon these feelings. So coming back to our main theme of, nothing is palatable to a conditioned soul without comparing himself with others. And for a pure devotee, nothing is palatable without Krishna, without love for Krishna. Now, regarding what is palatable and what is not, we are speaking about how for Gujaratis, nothing is palatable without sweets, without sugar in everything. So there is a nice story that, one of the ISKCON gurus, he suggested to a very surrendered disciple that, you please, I feel that you should get married to this particular girl. A very surrendered disciple. So the guru suggested that, why don't you get married to this girl? So the disciple, for the first time perhaps in his life, he had a clause before he surrendered, before he said yes. He agreed, I'll marry to this girl, but it so happened that the girl was a Gujarati girl. So the disciple told, Maharaj, please, I don't mind marrying this girl, but somehow I cannot tolerate sugar in the dal. Other than this, if you can just convey to the girl that not to put sugar in the dal, I surrender. So that can be the extent. So the point is, once something is palatable to someone, one tends to have it in everything. Sometimes in an imperceptible way. For example, Gujaratis put sugar even in the dal. I put it in sabjis sometimes. And South Indians, they put coconut everywhere. They put coconut in the dal and that becomes sambar. So it becomes all pervading. Similarly, a pure devotee of the Lord, because nothing is palatable without Krishna, Krishna permeates every activity of a pure devotee. Imperceptibly. One cannot perceive that Krishna is there, but still Krishna is there. For example, dal is not a sweet, but still there is sweet in the dal. Because sweet is palatable. Similarly, when Krishna becomes palatable, Krishna is all-pervading. He permeates into every activity of the pure devotee. Into every action, in every thought, in every word of a pure devotee. Somewhere during 1936, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was traveling through Assam area. He was traveling on a bullock cart and disciples were following him. He was moving from one village to another for preaching. And in one of these places, during traveling, he came across another bullock cart. And on that bullock cart, there was a Brahmana boy. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had commonplace exchanges with the boy. What's your name? What is your family? What are you doing? Where do you stay? That's it. Commonplace exchange. But that brief exchange left such an impression on that boy that he could never forget Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His family members pursued that he has got something, a higher taste. He has met some transcendental personality. The family members got that feel and they tried to curtail the movements of the boy. Still, this boy ran away from his home and he joined the Gaudiya Math. After many years, and by that time, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was no longer on the planet. He took initiation from Sripad Madhav Maharaj and he got the name Ashram Maharaj.
So you can see that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur apparently didn't speak about Krishna at all. Apparently there was no Krishna in his talk. But because nothing was palatable for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur without Krishna, Krishna permeated even commonplace exchanges of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We see even Srila Prabhupada in 26 Second Avenue, people used to come and meet him. And many times Prabhupada used to discuss apparently mundane topics about India, how things happen in India, about the culture in India, all these things. But through those exchanges, they were becoming Krishna conscious. How? Because Prabhupada, everything about him was Krishna consciousness. This is a story which comes in the 7th volume of the Prabhupada Lilamrit. Prabhupada was talking to many devotees. Once he returned to San Francisco from India, I think. Not sure about this. But he was talking to many devotees, and one of the devotees, he came and said, you know, why are you interrupting Prabhupada's service? He felt that all the devotees are speaking to Prabhupada and apparently not directly Krishna consciousness. So why are you interrupting Prabhupada's service, he asked. Prabhupada said, this is my service. I am giving my association to the other devotees. So that is a pure devotee of the Lord. Every activity, every word, every thought of a pure devotee, it's imbued with Krishna consciousness. And the sweetness of bhakti is, even at the level of pure devotional service, there are different flavors of Krishna consciousness. For example, Gujaratis, nothing is palatable without sweets, but still, they have got their favorites of sweet preparations. Similarly, on the level of pure devotional service also, the sweetness of bhakti is there is variety at every stage. So even pure devotees, they have got different flavors of Krishna, which is more palatable to them than the other flavors. Once someone asked Jananimas Prabhu that we speak so many things throughout the day, why is it not possible for us to chant the whole day? Isn't it? One speaks so many things throughout the day, the energy is being consumed in that way. So why can't one chant Hare Krishna throughout the day? It's actually seems to be so simple, but it's so difficult. Why is that so? So Jananimas Prabhu said, he gave the example that deity worship. We have got Shaligram Shila. Now Shaligram Shila, to worship Shaligram Shila is very simple. All that is required is water and tulsi leaves. The process of worship is the simplest with Shaligram Shila. Water and tulsi leaves. The process is very simple. But if that process is not followed, then it's a big offense. The process is simple, but if one fails to do it, it's a big offense. So similarly, he said, the process of worshipping the holy names is very simple. He compared chanting of the holy names to deity worship. So worshipping the holy names is very simple. All one has to do is chant and hear. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So every morning we worship the holy names by chanting the holy names. But if we don't worship the holy names properly by attentive chanting, then it's a big offense and the holy name will go away. But if we worship the holy names properly, by chanting attentively, then the holy names will stay with us throughout the day. It's a beautiful understanding. But what struck to me was, he is a pujari for 40 years. So even when someone asks him a question about the holy names, he connects it to deity worship. Because nothing is palatable to him without deity worship. So that is the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. That nothing is palatable without Krishna, and moreover, nothing is palatable without a particular flavor of Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'll end here. Thank you very much. Is there any questions or any comments? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।